Hello, and welcome to this webinar on the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft. My name is Rachel Nubley, and I'm joined today by Yelena Volo. We are members of staff here at the IFB working on the Conceptual Framework project. The purpose of this webinar is to provide you with an overview of the measurement section of Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft.
Before we start, you can download a slide pack by clicking on the Event Resources button on the left-hand side of your screen. Also, this webinar is not live, it is a recording, so we are not taking questions of the audience today. Finally, the views Rachel and I will be expressing today are our own and not necessarily those of the ISB or IFRS Foundation. Okay, now Rachel, the topic we are presenting today is just part of what is covered by the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft.
Yes, that's correct, Yelena. In this webinar, we are covering the proposed guidance on measurement. However, that is just one section of the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft. We have already recorded three webinars on the Conceptual Framework. One of those webinars provides a general overview of the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft. The other two look in more detail at the proposed changes to the definitions of the elements and related guidance. These webinars can be found on the Conceptual Framework page of our website. We will provide details at the end of this webinar. The dates of future webinars and the topics we plan to cover are given on the slide. Yelena, could you explain what we're planning to cover in this webinar?
Yes, sure. During this webinar, we will provide you with some background on the approach to measurement that we have taken in the exposure draft and explain what the exposure draft says about measurement and the measurement basis identified in the exposure draft. We will discuss the information provided by the identified measurement basis and discuss the proposed factors to consider when selecting a measurement basis. And then finally, we will explain how you can find further information on the Conceptual Framework project and the deadline for providing comments on the Conceptual Framework exposure draft. So let's start with some background. The existing Conceptual Framework says very little about measurement. It simply describes a number of commonly used measurement bases, but does not attempt to explain when those measurement bases should be used or the factors that the ISB or preparers should consider when selecting a measurement basis. How an asset or liability is measured and whether it should be remeasured is fundamental to financial reporting, so the lack of guidance in the existing Conceptual Framework is clearly a significant gap. The discussion paper that was published in 2013 included suggestions on the sort of guidance on measurement that could be included in the Conceptual Framework. The discussion paper discussed how the qualitative characteristics of useful information, that is relevance and faithful representation, how they would affect the selection of a measurement basis. It also suggested a mixed measurement approach, that is, different measurement bases, for example, cost or current value, would be used for different types of assets and liabilities. The discussion paper also included a detailed description of the implications of the conceptual, of the qualitative characteristics for different types of assets and liabilities.
Is it correct to say that the feedback on the suggestions was mixed?
Yes, that's right, Rachel. There was general support for the mixed measurement approach suggested in the discussion paper. However, many of those commenting stated that the measurement section needed more work and contained too much standard-level detail. In response to these comments, the exposure draft focuses on describing different measurement bases and the information they provide, and describes the factors to consider when selecting a measurement basis.
Let's look in a little bit more detail about what we say about measurement. The exposure draft starts with a proposed description of measurement. We explain what measurement is and we describe it as the process of quantifying, in monetary terms, information about an entity's assets, liabilities, income and expense. The exposure draft then explains that measurement bases can be characterized as either cost or current value measurement bases. Historical cost measurement bases use information about the past transaction or event that created the asset or liability to provide information about that asset or liability. As the name suggests, current value measurement bases use current information that is updated at the measurement date. Yelena, would you like to describe in more detail what we mean when we refer to historical cost measurement bases?
Sure, Rachel. So let's start by describing what the exposure draft says about historical cost of non-financial assets and non-financial liabilities. The historical cost of a non-financial asset, for example, property, plant and equipment, is initially equal to the costs incurred to acquire the asset, including any transaction costs. This initial cost is then adjusted to reflect consumption of the asset. That is, adjustment is usually called a depreciation or amortization. In addition, if the cost of the asset is no longer recoverable, that is, if the asset is impaired, its carrying value is adjusted to reflect that fact. Consequently, the historical cost of a non-financial asset can be described as the recoverable historical cost of the unconsumed portion of the asset. The historical cost of a non-financial liability, and this would typically be something like a performance obligation under a customer contract, is described in a similar way. It is initially the consideration received for taking on the liability, less any transaction costs. This initial measurement is then adjusted for interest and fulfillment. The liability is increased if the consideration received is no longer considered sufficient to meet the obligation, that is, if the contract becomes onerous. The key thing to remember is that although historical cost is adjusted to reflect consumption, fulfillment, and impairment, it is not updated to reflect changes in other factors, for example, changes in market prices.
Let's now look in a little bit more detail about what we mean by historical cost of financial assets and financial liabilities. The historical cost of financial assets and financial liabilities is usually referred to as amortized cost. The initial consideration given or received for a financial asset or financial liability is adjusted to reflect interest payments or receipts and any changes in estimates of cash flows, including any impairments of financial assets. However, as with historical cost of non-financial assets and non-financial liabilities, amortized cost does not reflect changes in prices caused by other factors, for example, market prices. Let's move on to look in more detail at the current value measurement bases described in the conceptual framework exposure draft. We have divided current values into two categories, those based on the assumptions that market participants would use in valuing an asset or liability, and those based on the entity's own assumptions about the value of the asset or liability. If market participant assumptions are used, then the measurement basis is fair value. If entity-specific assumptions are used, then the measurement basis is value in use for assets and fulfillment value for liabilities. Although value in use and fulfillment value are defined as entity-specific counterparts to fair value, the conceptual framework exposure draft acknowledges that in some scenarios, the ISB may want to modify measurements based on value in use or fulfillment value. For example, the ISB may well decide to exclude the effects of changes in own credit from fulfillment value.
The conceptual framework exposure draft also summarizes the information provided by different measurement bases. The exposure draft describes the information provided in both the statement of financial position, that is the balance sheet, and the information provided in the statement of financial performance. Slide 10 summarizes the information provided for assets, and slide 11 summarizes the corresponding information for liabilities. I do not propose to go through these slides in detail, but I would like to emphasize that these summaries of the information provided by different measurement bases are important to the selection of a measurement basis. When developing standards, the ISB will consider whether the information provided by a particular measurement basis, that is, the information set out in these tables, is useful to the users of financial statements. Which brings us neatly to the selection of a measurement basis. Rachel, would you like to explain what the conceptual framework exposure draft says about the selection of a measurement basis?
Yes, thank you, Yelena. In order to meet the objective of financial reporting described in Chapter 1 of the conceptual framework, the ISB will need to ensure that the selected measurement basis provides useful information to the users of financial statements. Information is useful if it possesses two fundamental qualitative characteristics. That is, information must be relevant, and it must faithfully represent what it purports to represent. If the information provided by a measurement basis possesses the enhancing qualitative characteristics of comparability, verifiability, understandability, and timeliness, then it's usefulness. Finally, when selecting a measurement basis, the ISB must ensure that the benefits of the information provided by that measurement basis justify the cost of providing that information.
But the need to consider cost doesn't just apply to a selection of measurement bases, isn't that right?
That's right, Yelena. The conceptual framework describes the need to assess the cost of providing information as a pervasive constraint on the information that can be provided in financial statements. In all the decisions that the IFB makes, it needs to consider whether the benefits of providing particular information exceed the cost. The conceptual framework exposure draft goes on to state that consideration of the qualitative characteristics and the cost constraint is likely to lead to a mixed measurement approach. That is, different assets and liabilities are likely to be measured differently. Let's look at what the conceptual framework exposure draft says about relevance. Firstly, when selecting a measurement basis, the IFB will need to ensure that the measurement basis provides relevant information in both the statement of financial position and the statements of financial performance. That is, when selecting a measurement basis, the IFB will need to think about both the assets and liabilities in the balance sheet and also the resulting income and expense. Assets and liabilities can contribute to cash flows in different ways. For example, a building can be used as an office building and contribute to cash flows indirectly, or it can be held as an investment property, contributing to cash flows directly through rentals or sales. In selecting a measurement basis, the IFB will need to consider how the asset or liability contributes to future cash flows. This is likely to depend at least in part on the business activities that the entity is conducting, that is, its business model. The characteristics of some assets and liabilities can also affect the selection of a measurement basis. For example, the fact that many derivatives are acquired for little cost and have values that are very sensitive to changes in risk mean that a current value measurement basis is much more likely than historical cost to provide useful information about these types of derivatives. The final factor that can affect the relevance of the information provided by a particular measurement basis is the level of measurement uncertainty associated with that measurement. In some cases, a measure can be so uncertain that the information provided by that measure has little relevance.
But under situations in which the only relevant measure is a highly uncertain one?
Yes, that's true, Yelena. For example, the current value of some equity instruments can be very uncertain, but that uncertain current value is likely to be much more relevant than a cost-based measurement. As with many aspects of the conceptual framework, there is no black or white answers. The IFB and others will need to exercise judgment when considering these factors. The qualitative characteristic of faithful representation has fewer implications for measurement than relevance. However, it does have a role to play. In some cases, assets and liabilities are linked. For example, an asset might be contractually linked to a liability. If linked items are measured differently, then an accounting mismatch can arise that may not faithfully represent the financial performance of the entity. Hence, the IFB may need to consider using the same measurement basis for the linked items. The enhancing qualitative characteristic of understandability also has implications for the selection of measurement bases. The use of new or different measurement bases can make the financial statements more complex and hence less understandable. So the IFB will need to consider carefully whether it is necessary to introduce new or different measurement bases. Changing a measurement basis, for example, from cost to current value, can result in income or expenses. Because this income or expense does not arise from a transaction or other event, it can be difficult for users to understand, so it is preferable to avoid unnecessary changes in measurement bases. Finally, we've already mentioned the need to consider the cost and benefits.
In most cases, consideration of the factors that Rachel has just described will lead to the conclusion that a single measurement basis will provide useful information to users of financial statements about a particular asset or liability. However, in some cases, more than one measurement basis is needed to provide relevant information. This might be the case, for example, if an entity's business activities mean that there is uncertainty about whether the entity will hold and use an asset or sell that asset. In most situations like this, the most straightforward thing to do is to use the same measurement basis in the statement of financial position and the statement of financial performance and disclose information about the other measurement basis in the notes. However, in some situations, the IFB could decide to use a dual measurement, that is, using one measurement basis in the statement of financial position and a different measurement basis in profit or loss, with the difference between the two measurements reported in other comprehensive income. Slide 16 explores this idea of a dual measurement in more detail, A dual measurement would be used in situation when the ISB decides that current value is relevant for the measurement of assets and liabilities in the statement of financial position, but that cost-based information would be useful in the statement of profit or loss. A recent example of the use of a dual measurement is the fair value through OCI category for some types of financial assets in IFRS 9. Financial assets categorized as fair value through OCI are measured at fair value in the balance sheet. Amortized cost information is included in the statement of profit or loss, and the difference between the change in fair value and the amount included in profit or loss in any period is reported in OCI. The cumulative amount included in OCI is equal to the difference between the fair value of the asset and its amortized cost.
Before we wrap up this webinar, it's probably worth just briefly discussing the timeline for this project. The Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft was published in May, with a comment period of 150 days, which means that it has a comment deadline of the 26th of October of this year. However, we have received a number of requests for an extension to this deadline. The ISB will discuss whether to provide an extension to the deadline at its meeting in September. If there is no extension to the comment deadline, we would hope to finalise the revised conceptual framework by the end of 2016. We have now come to the end of this webinar. Yelena and I hope you have found it useful and that you will listen to the rest of the webinars in this series. The dates on which each of the webinars is scheduled to be available are listed in the left-hand column of this slide. But you don't have to listen to the webinars on those dates. They will remain on the ISB's website for you to listen to at later times. In the meantime, if you would like further information on this project, including information about how to submit a comment letter, slide 18 provides links to the relevant pages on the website. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.